Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. My brother sent me a picture of my mom's gravestone. And this is the first, you know, year that there were flowers placed at it. Of course, she died last year in September. And God blessed her with 91 years, you know. And she was a godly woman. And I am greatly blessed because of her in my life, even though I didn't appreciate her growing up. You know, like I say often, you know, the older we get, the smarter our parents become, you know. And the more we appreciate even the things that we didn't understand at the time that they did understand. You know, they've been through some things and learned some things. And sometimes, you know, we got to take the hard route before we learn. Amen. But God is faithful to answer your prayers. Amen. Amen. And our labor in the Lord is never in vain. So we know that my mom been praying for us kids. And there are results because of that. And I thank God for that, for a mom that didn't give up. I'm sure she was tempted to do so. Amen. Don't give up on your kids, though. Yeah. Because God doesn't. Amen. But we have to partner with God, amen, for his divine interference or influence, should I say, in the lives of those that we pray for. Do you believe that God answers prayer? Amen. Yes, we say that. Amen. So if we believe that, then we will pray more often. Yeah. Amen. Amen. If you have faith, you will pray. If you have faith in God, you'll pray. Amen. And if you have faith in self, you won't. But God is weaning us off ourselves, praise God. Amen. And so he has his way in the whirlwind, the Bible says, in the storms of life. And I know that when the storms come, it means that something good is on its way. That's just the pattern. Amen. So hang in there. Hold on to Jesus. Amen. He's the one that's in the boat with you on the storm. Amen. And he's the one who can calm the sea. Amen. Hallelujah. You have Jesus in you. You have hope. Amen. You have comfort. You have protection. You have provision. You have everything you need because he's all that we need. And that's all I need. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. It's you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. It's you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. It's you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you. You're all I need, Jesus. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. And just give it all to him. Let it all go. Casting all your cares. Hallelujah. He can carry you. Hallelujah. He'll lift you up above the storm. You'll see things from his perspective. It's not as bad as you think. It's not as big as you think. Because he's over it. He's bigger than it. Hallelujah. Wanted to give you a little history on Mother's Day. It was back in 1914 that President Woodrow Wilson, by an act of Congress, proclaimed that the second Sunday in May would be set aside for Mother's Day. He declared it as, quote, a day for the public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country, end quote. It has been said that, quote, no nation is ever greater than its mothers, for they are the makers of the next generation. We wouldn't be here without mom. Amen? I think mom's kind of important, right? And title of the message this morning is The Blessing of a Godly Mom. The Blessing of a Godly Mom. And I had already mentioned that I have received the benefit, the blessing and the benefit of having a mom who stood in there, stood in the gap. How many remember reading the comic book or the comic section in the newspaper? Does anybody ever get a newspaper here anymore? Some people are probably still reading newspapers, right? We just can't break from that, right? But this is some. They're not funny. No, they're usually political, right, or whatever. Yeah. So, anyways, but you, there was a comic section called Calvin and Hobbes. And in one example, Calvin is standing by his mother's bed on Mother's Day, and he says, quote, "Hey, Mom, wake up. I made you a Mother's Day card." His mother was very pleased and started to read it out loud. Quote, "I was going to buy a card with the hearts of pink and red, but then I thought I'd rather spend the money on me instead. It's awfully hard to buy things when one's allowance is so small. So I guess you're plenty lucky I got you anything at all. Happy Mother's Day to you." There, I said it. Now I'm done. So how about getting out of bed and cooking breakfast for your son? He adds, "Did you notice the part about my allowance?" Now, if I said something like that to my mom, I wouldn't be getting any breakfast or any allowance. All right? And rightly so. I wonder how many times in my life, though, I took my mom for granted or didn't appreciate her like I should have. Or given her the respect that she deserved. You know, children are commanded, right, to honor their father and their mother. It's not an option. Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with what? Promise." Here it is, verse 3, "that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." So there's no age limit attached to this commandment. Even in their old age as well. You know, us kids got together and said, you know, our parents were there for us when we were growing up, and we're going to be there for them in their old age. Honor means to highly respect as to great worth or value, merit or rank. We should be thankful for moms, especially godly moms. And I like to share this often on this day. There was a booklet that my mom gave me called A Mother's Love. And it contained a section where my mother filled in the blanks. And number one, it says, "A message I gave my children often. Behave yourself. Be a good boy." Well, she had to say that a lot. Number two, "Something I wish I told them. Your father and I are proud of you." Three, "The best advice I gave my children. Make the world a better place for others." And the most valuable thing I gave my children, Christ. There's no greater blessing than having Christ in you. No greater gift than the gift of eternal life. You know, we can give our kids all the toys and all the comforts of life, but if we don't give them Jesus, it will all have been in vain. So you know, mothers have a very important role in the home. They can make or break a home. Parents have a responsibility, right? Fathers and mothers and fathers of instructing their children. One of my life verses here, and it was in a Bible that my mom bought me when I was young. Proverbs 22:6. How many know this? "Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it." Well, it took me a little while to get there, but by the grace of God, the day came when the Lord put his thumb on me and said, "Enough." So we cannot afford to turn the training of our kids over to the school system. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Or even solely to the church programs. So the God has given us our children as we have a stewardship over that child, amen, a responsibility before Him to raise that child correctly in His ways. And so it's important that we are depositing the right things in our children. And Galatians 6:9 is one of my favorite verses too. Let us not grow weary while doing good. I know there's been times when, you know, we've probably said, well, I'm getting tired of this same prayer or doing this same thing and I'm not seeing anything happen. But how many know God in His season? Because it says in due season. Amen. You sow seeds, you don't immediately see a crop. Amen. You've got to be faithful to sow, amen, and to water and to wait on the season for that to come to fruition. In Scripture, we see the impact Timothy's mother and grandmother had on his life. For 2 Timothy 1:5, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, who was a pastor. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. So Timothy was greatly influenced by his mother and grandmother. And for whatever reason, there's no mention of his father. And we can only speculate why. But it seems like he was very possibly absent. Whatever the reason, Timothy's mother and grandmother had greatly invested in his life. And I want to say this because just because a father is absent does not mean a child cannot be raised properly. It's certainly more challenging, as statistics prove. But a dedicated mother or grandmother can have a great impact on her family and the world for generations. And I think we can all agree that dads are very important. But there are obviously situations where dad is absent and the mom is left with raising the kids alone. And God has grace for that. We simply need to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Someone has sown seeds in your life, and those seeds have had a strong influence on you, whether good or bad. We've all had bad seeds and good seeds. Amen. The good news is God's in the restoration business. Doesn't matter what the enemy sowed. Amen. God knows how to root things out to get it out of us. Amen. Those of us who've had godly mothers have received the benefit from both their example and the words that were spoken into our lives. And so because of the investment of Timothy's mother and grandmother, and also that of the Apostle Paul, Timothy had led many souls to God, made many disciples for Jesus. So what we are depositing, not only in our children, but in others, eventually will produce. We have to be careful. We have to choose our seed carefully. Would you agree? Because what you deposit in the lives of others will enable them to accomplish the will of God for their lives. God wants us to know His will and live out His will. He wants us all to understand who we are in Him, who He is in us, and what He has called us to do, what He's assigned us to do, and to be faithful to that work, to commit ourselves to the work of the Lord until such time as we go home. Amen. These are some important things to sow into your children. First of all, is the Word of God. Amen. Scriptural truth. Because the truth arms them to overcome in the battle against darkness. And it can also keep them free from demonic infestation. The Word of God serves as a roadmap to help them reach their destiny in Christ. 1 Corinthians 13:13, how many know this? It's right on the wall back there. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Amen. And so God's love is not self-centered, but other-centered. It's important that we are sowing faith in our children. Amen. That with God, nothing is impossible. Our children need to see us, amen, overcoming. They need to see us standing under adversity and opposition and difficulties. Amen. Because we are an example, not only to our children, but the people that we live and work with. We see every day they're watching our lives. How do you handle stress? How do you handle problems? Are you fretting? Are you complaining? Are you walking around like you've been sucking lemons? Or, you know, there's times you just got to say, you have joy. Stop it. I have Jesus. I have joy. He's all I need. It's important that we're sowing faith. Faith in our kids. Because they are observing us. Amen. And they need to see us rejoicing in hope and not worrying and complaining. So hope is necessary, but hope is really there because there are times when things will appear to be hopeless. Amen. So we need hope when things appear. Amen, Omer. Things appear to be hopeless. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. It's important that we are sowing hope in our kids. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. When we rejoice in hope, it pleases the Lord. Because we're saying, Lord, I trust you. I don't have to understand. I know you are good. You do all things good. Amen. And you're able to make all things work together for my good. Because I belong to you. Because I love you. So hope is having a positive or optimistic expectation for the future. All right. And so as a believer, we can enjoy access into this position of favor with the Lord by his grace. And because we are accepted in Christ, the Father welcomes us as sons and daughters. In Christ, we have hope for the future. That's why I love that song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Amen. And God wants you to live your life. Amen. And life is worth the living because he lives. And of course, we need to be sowing the seeds of love, right? And compassion in our children. Love is patient, 1 Corinthians 13:4, and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. When we're in the love of God, there's persistence in that. There's consistency. Amen? It's God's love that will keep us grounded. Amen. There is no fear in his love. All right? When we're worried, it's a sign we're fearful. Somebody say amen. When we're anxious, it's a sign that we're fearful. God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be known what? Unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus, right? And minds in Christ Jesus. So we need to have faith in God, and we need to be an example by that. Amen. To the people, not only our children, but even our children in the Lord and those who may be younger in the faith that are looking to you as an example. Well, how do Christians live? How do they handle these things in life? Come on. They need to see us worshiping. They need to see us rejoicing. Amen. They need to see us overcoming. Amen. Oh, that's what I do. I don't sit around in a pity party. I start to give a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. Amen. I do the opposite of how I'm feeling. I don't submit myself to my soul. I submit myself to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God says, rejoice. Your God has got it. Your God is with you. And he's mighty to save. So we're sowing the seeds of responsibility also, of a strong work ethic. And I thank God for my parents that they demonstrated that. Sowing the seeds of godly example of integrity, of diligence, of perseverance. Husbands, we are commanded to love and respect our wives. Amen. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church. How many know this? And gave himself for her, Ephesians 5:25. So it's by our example. You know, it's important because sons especially, they look to their dad. Remember the old commercial years ago, like father, like son? Yeah. Well, remember at the end of that commercial, dad goes to light up a cigarette, and so the son then begins to reach for one, you see. So we have to be an example. Not only the way a man treats his wife, amen, or the mother of his children, is setting an example for the son who's watching dad. And so if he's abusive, he learns that you abuse women. Are you hearing me? We need to honor our wives. Amen. Respect our moms and our wives. Because when you do so, you're respecting yourself as well. Because woman is not inferior to man, but woman came out of man. Therefore, she is equal in that we are the same substance. God's given us different roles. Amen? But as far as value, we're equal. Come on, somebody. Amen? Amen? So when God brought Eve back to Adam, amen, they became one flesh, right? And when we're joined to the Lord, we become one spirit. Amen. So mothers deserve to be honored, not just once a year. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, I guess for once a year I can do that. Take you out for a Happy Meal or something. I don't know. No, I so appreciate my wife. Hesuk has been so good and so faithful. I know I can trust her. You know. And I appreciate my mom too, again, for standing in there. And sometimes I'm sure she wanted to strangle me, you know, but she restrained herself. And I'm here today, so praise God. So let's do that. Amen. Let's honor our moms. Amen. Or your wife, or I just feel like, you know, we have moms in the Lord too. We have older ladies here that are examples to the younger. And we should honor one another, amen. And those who are older than us as well. But I guess I can say I was glad I was born a man. It's who I am. You know, because moms have such a responsibility in the home. You think about even 100 years ago, and also in many other cultures, they carry so much. They're taking care of babies. They're having to work and wash clothing by hand. I mean, a lot of the comforts we have here, we take for granted. But even in that, it can be difficult to raise children, right? Even in America. But you think about even 100 years ago when they didn't have all the comforts and they had 10, 12, 20 kids, whatever. I can only imagine that's why they had to teach the older to take care of the younger. And there was structure, but there was discipline in the home for the most part, you know. So it wasn't such a hardship. I believe in that. Amen. You got to discipline your kids. Don't let them disrespect you. Don't let them walk over you. Amen. Because if they learn self-discipline when they're young, they'll be a disciplined adult. I think what we're seeing happening in the streets to a great degree, amen, is kids that were raised without discipline and any respect for authority because they didn't respect their parents and they weren't taught to. And then when they become an adult, well, they're just like big kids out there throwing a temper tantrum in the street now instead of in the store. We've got to get back to the Word of God and quit being wise in our own understanding. Well, the philosopher or the psychologist says, well, what does God say? Who made the psychiatrist? Abraham Lincoln said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. And you know, he had poor upbringing. You know, became one of our greatest presidents. So bottom line here is the Lord makes available to us all the grace we need to live a godly life and to be an example to our families and to the world around us. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. God is able to make what? All grace abound to you. That you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Amen. No excuse, right? Whatever you need, He has. Hallelujah. So as you rely upon the provision of God's wisdom and His grace, you'll be successful in your responsibilities as a parent and a spouse. Even if you don't see any immediate results. That's the thing. God will honor those who honor Him. And we honor Him by honoring those that He's put in charge of us. Amen? Honor the authorities. Honor your parents. Amen? Honor one another. Honor your wife. Honor your husband. Amen? As you do that, you're honoring God who put them in your life. Amen? So, again, don't become weary in well-doing and sowing. Even if you have adult children, amen, or even now you grandchildren, many of you have grandchildren, great-grandchildren, God's given you an opportunity there where you can sow, amen, into their hearts, the good seeds of life, amen, with an expectation that in due season, because you don't quit, you don't give up on them, you don't stop praying, amen, you don't quit reaching out to them, they will come around. Because the word of God will not return void. Amen? It will accomplish what He set it forth to do. If God gives you a word and you speak that word, it will accomplish what He sent it to do. How many know the Lord doesn't do anything in vain? If the Holy Spirit is in it, it's going to accomplish something. Amen? If we're cooperating with Him in that, it will produce fruit. Hallelujah. You may not see it right away, but in due season you shall reap. If you don't lose hope. Believe, amen, and you will see the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Keep on believing, keep on sowing, amen. Keep on watering and know that God has it. Hallelujah. I know there's times when we say, Lord, now. You know, Lord, fix this situation now. We get weary in the process, don't we? But God knows. And sometimes God has to bring somebody low enough, amen, in life to where they can only look up so that they're sufficiently broken in a place where now they will yield, they will believe, they will trust, and because they know it had to be God that got them out of that mess. Amen? So you can't always intervene. You can't always rescue them. Sometimes they're just going to have to go out and do the thing they want to do in life. Amen? And there's nothing you can do about it anyways. No sense in worrying about it. Just commit them to the Lord. Pray for the Lord's protection and that the Lord will get a hold of them. Amen? And don't give up because in due season, you will reap. Hallelujah. Because nothing is impossible. Amen. And the seeds that were sown even years ago are still there. I can tell you this real quick. When I was converted, really converted, it was in my bedroom. It wasn't in a church service. And I called out to Jesus in a time of desperation. And He came and forgave me and came into my heart, came into my life. And I was cleansed from within. Amen. I had a shower on the inside. Hallelujah. And immediately I started wanting to read the Bible. Imagine that. And I had a Bible that I had when I was a teenager. I was 27 when I was a teenager. And I was tearing the house up to find that Bible because, man, I was like, hey, I needed a meal. I was hungry, you know. And earlier on in my life, I had been in VBS and I'd had some memory verses, you know, that I had memorized, right? Well, if you'd asked me any time in that time when I was away from the Lord, I wasn't really born again, I could have never told you what those verses were. Amen? But all of a sudden, I started opening up that Bible. I found that little red beat-up Bible. Amen? I started with King James, the version that Paul uses. And Paul used. And I opened it up and I started reading. And all of a sudden, the words were just popping off the page. And as soon as I read the verse, it was back. Wow. I mean, that's God, you know? I know it's God, and I know it's by mercy. I know it's because of His grace. I can't get big-headed because I know where I was, and I know what He did. Amen? And so I'm just forever grateful for the cross and for the mercy of God. and that I get to serve him now. Amen. And love him back for the rest of my days. So what I want to do is we're going to pray blessing, okay? Over if you want to lay your hand on your wife or your those who are with you. If you don't have somebody here, that's okay. But let's just pray right now for the God's blessing over the moms, and, amen, and the wives that are here today. Father, thank you for the gift of women, Lord, in our lives, especially godly women, godly examples, even those, Lord, who are mothers in the faith, who have been faithful, Lord, to sow into the lives of younger people, Lord, throughout the generations. And thank you for those of like precious faith here today. Father, we are asking that you'd bless them today with your righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you'd bless them with good health and strength, Lord God. Father, we pray you just pour out your glory upon them, your blessings upon them and upon their children and upon their children's children. And Lord God, that you will make them that example, Lord, to be for their family, Lord, before the watching world. Bless each one of them. Keep them. Cause your face, Lord, to shine upon them. Be gracious unto them. Lord, lift up the light of your countenance. Smile upon them with your favor today, Lord God, we pray. And let your peace be their portion. Shalom. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 So thank you for coming today. Happy Mother's Day.